I hit record. Give me a sound test.
Dracula for President, 2020.
That sounds pretty good. Here, let me. I'm very highly educated. I know words. I have the best words. There's no better word than stupid, right? Yeah, that's right. Hey, everybody. Welcome to another edition of Just Because's. I jumped in a little bit quicker than I meant to. Telling you that you're on our show now, listening to it on your little podcasty thing there. You liberal scum with your podcasts and your cereal and your liberal stuff. I'm Joe, and with me in the studio is Jason. No, he's Jason. No, I'm... God damn it. Listen, I don't know that I'm making a lot of sense, and I'm probably not going to make a lot of sense, but I got some Tic Tacs here. I'm going to just start kissing you, and then... you know, you're going to let me do whatever I want because I'm on a podcast. I'm famous. I'm going to grab you by the pussy.
That's really what our show does. It grabs you right by the pussy. Just every time.
Grabs you by your constitutionally protected gonadulars right there. And we're proud of it. Yeah. Joe, how are you today? What's right. going on? What's the what? Where's the when? How's the who?
Well, I'm excited that we're going to kind of branch out a little bit today. Maybe even talk about some politics. We already got started. We talked about pussy and balls. Oh, wait. That's what we talk about all the time. There's nothing different about this podcast so far. We'll see. But I foresee that we're going to be like Madonna and we're going to completely... reinvent ourselves. No, we'll be like David Bowie and we'll be dead.
No, so. Let's not be dead. Did you know David Bowie started an ISP in Great Britain? Did you know
an
that?
ISP?
Yeah, Internet Service Provider.
I did not know that. Yeah. God, David Bowie's so goddamn cool.
He just did everything.
Cool. He still is cool and he's not even alive.
Yeah, he did everything. He did it all. Yeah, let me look it up. Bowie ISP. I'm going to just Google that right now. And was there an article here from Ars Technica? Bowie Net. Yeah, it was called Bowie Net. What's that got to do with anything? Nothing. That's just something, just what you get on the JBC podcast. You get random ass trivia.
I was staring off into the distance. Hold on a second. Let me light a cigarette.
You light a cigarette while you're doing that. I'm gonna change the subject completely. You know what I saw today while you're lighting that cigarette? I was at the grocery store and I parked my car. And then when I came out of the grocery store, there was another car parked in the lot because you know more than one person shops at the grocery store at a time. And this was a Mini Cooper, one of those tiny little cars. And somehow, even though this was a Mini Cooper, he parked over the line. Like he couldn't even get his tiny little car into the parking spot. Not only that, it was over the line and he was partially into a handicap spot. So here's this jerk off who can't park a Mini Cooper and inconvenienced a handicap person at the same time. I just wanted to tell you about that.
Well, don't you think it might have been intentional because some fuck ass just didn't want to get his car scratched, so he took up two spaces to make sure that nobody could park next to him? Because you said jerk off. I think it's worse.
Could be. I would almost respect
that. That's why I was going with fuck ass.
Fuck ass, jerk off.
I don't know why that's so bad, but it just sounds worse.
We could examine that. I mean, I do have all the best words, so I could figure it out. But I would almost respect somebody doing it on purpose. Not respect, but understand. I still think the guy was a fuck ass jerk off, but it's when people are just so oblivious, incompetent, and indifferent that they're just like, you know, whatever. Like if you walk up to a guy and say, hey, you need some toilet paper? Well, why? Because you park like shit. And he's like, you know what? Fuck you, man. I did it on purpose because my car is more important than some handicapped asshole. And you're like, well, you're coming from a place of integrity. It's a fucked up integrity, but what am I going to do, change your mind? But if you walk into that same guy and he's like, oh, I didn't even notice. And he keeps on walking. You're like, well, what do you do to that guy? You know, stick a firecracker in his ass, I guess. I don't know.
I think that's a strong punitive action. Firecracker in the ass.
Yeah. I have some friends who live up in Portland, and apparently their sky has been hazy for 3 days because some kids were throwing firecrackers at each other and started a forest fire. And so I got firecrackers on the mind.
I remember last week there was an ad for a drone that if you, you know, you could start a forest fire. Are you sure they didn't have a blowtorch drone?
Maybe.
After
that's what it was.
To our podcast, it was fucking our fault.
They got the drone that you advertised, started a fire, felt guilty, didn't want us to be culpable, and said, oh, we were throwing firecrackers. Those are some stand-up kids right there. They took one for the team, Team JBC. Go JBC. Yeah, anyway.
We don't start forest fires.
Anyway. No, we don't. We don't start them.
I just want to make that declaration.
I feel like the country is kind of like we got on the upper left-hand corner, you got forest fires. In the lower right-hand corner, you've got this huge-ass hurricane. You'd think that they could cancel each other out if they would just get together. If the left side of our country and the right side of our country could just get together, we might get something done. It's this horrible divide we have between left and right and the inability to, what's the phrase, cross the aisle that's keeping us, that's holding us back, don't you think, Joe?
Yeah, but, you know, enough about geography and, you know, disasters and stuff like that. Unless we should talk politics. Or did you already begin?
You mean with the left-right analogy? Yeah, that was subtle, wasn't it? what do you want to talk about in terms of politics?
I don't know. I find it exhausting, which is weird because we're finally really maybe going to broach the subject this evening. Well, mm-hmm. we've done it before, kind of lightly. Well, just, you know, issues that concern us, but not really political issues, things that overlap politics, but aren't necessarily politics. Politics itself, I think, is exhausting, and it's gotten to a point where I don't know. How about this? I don't know how we've gotten to this point. It's baffling. I think it's a phenomenon.
What do you mean by this point?
At this point, I think politics is now. It's at an extreme level. It's taken a different form. And I couldn't have really seen this coming. But maybe I'm naive. Maybe this is not a surprise to you. And what I mean by that is, just, you know, the president's he's tweetering,
yep,
at 3 a.m. And that's just one of many examples of how different things are now.
Yes.
I think I'll safely say that, well, just because of the time he was president, that George W. Bush would not have tweeted,
nope,
at 3 a.m. I really don't think he would have. Again, at this point, I feel very naive. I feel like everything I thought I understood is thrown into question.
Well, I guess it begs the question. When you say politics, what do you mean? I mean, I don't want to get this and just make semantic arguments, but is a president tweeting at 3 a.m., is that politics? Is that argue for some system of government? Does it foment discussion about how the country should be run? Or is it just the blithering ramblings of... Well, I don't want to be too biased here before the debate starts, but I mean, is that politics? Is tweeting politics? I always thought of politics as the negotiations and the maneuvering necessary to get policy put in place. That to say, I believe that there should be no debt limit. Just saying that is not politics, but then working with people from the other political party in order to raise the debt limit so that government can keep operating and in return getting much needed funds for hurricane relief in Texas, that's politics, right?
Yes, that was you just explained what I thought politics should be. At this point, I feel like the tweeterings in the wee hours of the morning are beginning to affect or somehow influence politics, which I just, oh my God.
Well,
how did this, what? I mean, I guess now people tweet about politics all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe that's not such a surprise. I guess, look, I'm just going to say that just to have a president tweeting in the middle of the night, and I think it's Bill Maher that put this in my head, like that he's, well, I don't know. I feel like I've envisioned the man sitting on the toilet while he's doing it at 3 a.m.
Yeah.
And there's something so far away. Maybe I'm just – I don't like the overall demeanor of the political world. And I feel like the tweets are a part of that. I mean, this guy sitting on the pot, again, that's – I don't know if he's actually doing that, but I can't get it out of my head. And it's 3 a.m. I think anybody that's tweeting – I'm going to make a judgment here that's kind of maybe a little harsh. I think if you're tweeting – with any sort of like emotionally driven stance, like if you're tweeting at 3 a.m., look, I'm a Taco Bell manager, and if you're doing that all the time, I would say that that's just unhealthy. Even if you're just doing it, even if you're like me, just a Taco Bell manager, I feel like you need to check yourself if you're tweeting at 3 a.m. But so, I'm not a powerful guy. And it's, you know, what do I know about the components of a successful person and what their habits are and what their behaviors are?
Well, I don't want to get too skewed before we start getting into this, but I would question whether he is what I would consider successful. And people could say that, well, he's very, very wealthy. We can get into the minutiae of that. My point is nothing more than – to go back to what politics is tweeting at 3 in the morning that you are going to ban transgender people from the military, is that a political statement or is that just a statement of your personal point of view? And then the things you do to make that happen are the actual politics. Like, I don't think you can fault a person for having opinions. Like you say, if someone says, I don't like transgender people – okay, I don't want to be friends with that person, but that's their opinion and that's theirs. I can't tell them that they need to be, you know, taken to court for having that opinion. However, if they then say, I don't like transgender people and therefore I'm not going to let them live in my apartment building. Okay, that I can take you to court for and throw you in jail. And so when the president says, I'm going to get rid of transgender people in the military, like, okay, well, you're a jerk and you don't understand how things work. But then when he implements that policy at a significant cost to the United States and does it because he says he's saving money, even though the enactment will cost more than he claims he's saving, then you just – okay, now his politics, right, the maneuvering he did is stupid. It's just stupid. And that's what I'm getting at. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and it's – and maybe we'll get – we'll get a different perspective on this evening, but I think that's why I'm baffled, is because I no longer even know what the you know, politics for a long time, there's been, you know, side deals and, you know, maybe pretexts and ulterior motives and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But now I don't even know what the ulterior motive is. You know what I mean? That's where I get confused. Like I'm on board when I detect some level of deception or even conspiracy on its governmental level or a higher level. Perhaps, you know, that's gone down, I'm pretty sure. But now at this point, I'm completely confused as to what this person, our president, is even trying to achieve other than to just be spoken about
all
the time at all costs. So that is a motive. I just – wow. If that's the motive, man, we're all in fucking big trouble here.
Well, have I on a previous podcast spoken about the OODA loop? I can't remember if I brought it up on a podcast or not. Have you heard of this thing, the OODA loop? Is it ringing a bell?
It does kind of ring a bell. Refresh me.
I may have mentioned it after we were done recording, but the OODA loop is it refers to a means by which to engage strategic development in a combat or conflict situation. OODA stands for observe, orient, decide, and act, right? So you're in a conflict situation, you observe, you orient, you decide, and then you act. And we talk about getting inside your enemy's OODA loop means getting inside their loop so that they can't go through the whole cycle. As long as you were disrupting either observation, orientation, decisions, or action, then they have to start all over again. And people have pointed out that when Trump sends out these tweets and completely changes the subject. He's getting inside our OODA loop, right? When he says, there's no way my son colluded with the Russians, we all start to go over there and say, oh, yes, he did. Yes, he did. And then he says, oh, and I'm getting rid of the transgender people. Well, we haven't gone all the way through our OODA loop on the Russian thing, so now we're talking about transgender people in the military. And then somebody will point out that Trump wants, you know, grab people by the pussy, you know, and we're just constantly being thrown for a – well, not to make a pun, we're being thrown for a loop. And what is – what is the end game for all this? I think it's nothing more than self-aggrandizement and furthering of his brand. Really, I think the only reason he became president.
Gain.
Yeah,
I
exactly.
I understand that too.
He became president
to push forth his financial interests.
Exactly.
Him and his, you know, his. I feel like it's not just for him. I mean, he's on. I think he's benefiting other businesses and partners and associates and. But mostly it's him.
Yes.
I guess I can understand that when it's all for material gain. It all seems very risky. Again, I think we're going to get maybe a slightly different perspective.
Yeah.
We have someone standing by. I wonder if we can introduce him. Are you ready to jump in and chat here?
Let me see if I can figure out how Skype works again. Let's see. Let me see. No, that's not what I want. Sorry, folks. I don't know what I'm doing here. So, where's add participants, send files, and more? I'm press this button. Add people to this call.
I believe we have an intro music for this guy too. I mean, you know, walk us through the whole thing. But
I'm going to walk through the whole thing. First, let me see if I can bring him up. Do you have like does he have a name or something?
Yes. Well, his name is Pete.
Yeah.
He goes by Moonshine Pete. And his Skype number that I'd like to broadcast to all of our listener is 619.
Yeah.
687.
Yeah.
6105.
All right. 6105. All right. I'm going to try calling him now. I don't know if this is working. I clicked add to call, but I don't know if it worked.
We calling this guy?
I don't know. My computer's thinking.
Okay.
I don't know what it's thinking about. I don't know if this is going to work, dude. Calling like this.
Good.
All right. I tried it. Show dial pad. Let's try it like this.
Well, shit, maybe we don't have a guest tonight.
Maybe not. Maybe I'm fucking this up. That's really loud, isn't it?
I can't hear shit, dude.
Oh, that's good.
I hear nothing. Dead air.
It definitely came up on the recording on my side, so. All right, I've done that. Now dial. I clicked all the buttons. Well, and now it's just adding sevens to the call. He doesn't have a Skype account.
Is this shit being recorded?
It is, absolutely. He doesn't have a Skype call or a Skype account, this guy.
You want to see if he can call in?
Sure. Yeah. I mean,
all right. I'm gonna give him if I give him my shit. This is the worst podcasting.
No,
moment.
This is awesome. We're doing so well here.
All right. I'm gonna give him. Here. Why don't you tell a little story? And I'm gonna see if I can get him to call in. Okay.
Okay.
All right.
So. When I was, I don't know, 5, 6, maybe 18 years old, I had 3 tigers named Steve. And they're all named Steve and they're all tigers. And, okay, back then in those times, when you bought mittens, and this is relevant, when you bought mittens, you didn't buy them 2 at a time. You bought them 3 at a time just in case you had 3 hands. And I know that's like, well, most people don't have 3 hands, but you wanted to be really careful that you didn't accidentally sell 2 mittens to somebody with 3 hands. Because then one of his hands would get cold. And you know what they say, cold hand on Tuesday, broken heart on Wednesday. And not a lot of people say that. But anyway, my point is this. My 3 tigers named Steve and I were going to go to the store. And we weren't going to buy mittens. We were going to look for frying pans. And the funny thing about that is that all of the frying pans, they were sold out. Well, at least I thought they were sold out. I'm not saying that I was very smart back then, and my Tigers certainly weren't smart at all, but we were in a 7-Eleven, and I sold out of frying pans, and so I said to the clerk, I said, do you guys, you know, expect to get a shipment of frying pans in soon? And he just looked at me like I was an asshole, which makes sense because, you know, first of all, I wasn't even speaking English, right? I was speaking Urdu, and the funny thing is I don't know Urdu, and I don't want to speak it, but apparently I was speaking it, and this guy who was clearly like 100% red-blooded American, spoke only English, hated Tigers, had three hands. He did not know why I was saying this stuff to him. So anyway, I'm like, well, I'll just get over it. So we went to the park, and we were, you know, looking for homeless people because they usually have frying pans. And there was this homeless guy who, I guess you could say that, like, in a manner of speaking, he wasn't homeless. I mean, he was clearly homeless, but he wasn't, like, homeless in the sense of not having a home. He had a home. He had a house. He had three houses, actually, and by coincidence, they're all named Steve. But he was homeless in the sense that if he didn't have those three houses, he wouldn't have had a home, right? So we walked up to him and we're like, hey, man, like, if you were going to go anywhere in this city, right? And he, before I even finish my sentence, boom, he is running away top speed. And I'm thinking, oh, he's scared of the Tigers, right? Clearly, you know, you got to let people know in advance when you walk up to homeless people who have houses or not, don't just, you know, walk up to them, tell them, hey, my Tigers are safe. They've never bitten anybody more than once or twice. Oh, hey, what happened? Did you just hang up on me? Are you still there? Hello? I might be the only person on this call right now. That would be hilarious. I put the call on hold. Oh, no, it's back.
Jason, I really hate to interrupt you.
No, that's okay. What happened?
I got a call from our guest.
Yeah.
We've never had such difficulties getting a guest on, but we're going to work this shit out air.
On air.
He called.
Yeah.
How do I add a call? Is it very easy? Can I add a call?
Can you put like, because there like a plus button where you can put add participant to call? Try that.
Plus.
Or he called with his number to you? Have him call
me.
Yeah,
he did.
Have him just call me. Why can't he call me? Call me.
Oh, okay. Yeah. What is your, oh no.
Isn't it? It's, you know what it is with the, I'll text it to you.
Is it Gmail?
Yeah, that's right.
Okay. So I think I know what to tell him.
Okay.
Okay.
Tell him to do that. I can finish my story another time.
Okay. I thought maybe I had interrupted. I mean, if you want to just wrap it up real quick while we get this guy on. I wouldn't want you to go with this story unended. You know, resolve it.
Well, there is an ending to the story, but unfortunately, it's also in Urdu, which, like I said, I don't speak. So we're in a position where the listener, except unless you speak Urdu, won't know what the ending is. I don't know what the ending is, but it has something to do with the fact that I was wrong. The homeless guy was not running away because he's afraid of the Tigers. He was not running away despite the fact that every time my Tigers have ever bitten anybody, my insurance covers it. And that includes – what? No, it does. Includes.
Sorry. This story is great. I'm kind of bummed that I didn't get to hear the whole thing. I'm fucking around trying to get our guest on.
No, it's
– Tiger insurance?
No, it's not Tiger insurance. It's tire insurance. It's just because of some typos, it includes Tigers. But the point is, the homeless guy. Oh, hey, he's calling. Okay, cool. Answer this call. We'll put your active call on hold. Well, I don't want to put my active call on hold.
Oh, see? That's why this doesn't work.
But I see something I didn't see before. So let me try this. I bet
you can figure this out. You are the best Skype engineer.
Whatever.
Whatever other software engineer that you have for this podcast ever.
So it said he was calling and it gave me a name. What's his email address? Let me just use that.
All right, damn it. Okay, wrap up your Tiger story.
Okay. Like I said, the homeless guy, no, it's totally fine. We're halfway. Normally at this point I'd be doing a Larco ad. No, the homeless guy who had a house, had three houses, was actually coming back because he wanted to show me his three Tigers. He wasn't running away because he was scared. He was running because he was very – uh-oh. Hey, there he is. All right. Here we go. Add contact.
Oh, no kidding.
Okay, he just added me. I added him. We are so tits right now. Okay. Now let me get back to my call. Here we go. All right. Add people to this call. I'm going to add this dude. There he is. Oh, this is going to be so great. Yeah, him. Add him. Okay.
Yeah. Holy crap. All right, now I would like to, Jason, after I introduce our guest, I would like for you to finish this story. It's fucking riveted.
Okay.
All right, we got this music for our guest. Do you have any intro music?
Here we go.
Ladies and gentlemen, Moonshine Pete.
Okay. There it is.
There it is. Everything is on the one.
Everything.
Shit, Peter.
Ah, I love it.
That is
How
so
are you
nice.
Doing, homie?
I'm doing great. I'm doing fantastic.
Never called anybody homie on this show before, but I figured this would be a good time to start.
Yeah.
There you go.
Pete, it's so, nice to meet you, Mr. Moonshine. Can I call you Mr. Shine?
You can.
Excellent.
You may.
That's what I'm going to do. We have brought Mr. Shine on here to talk about a very important subject. And Mr. Shine, I apologize for only giving you a short amount of time here. And I'm not trying to gag you or anything like that. It's just that we couldn't figure out how to work Skype. And I was telling a story about tigers. And we'll do as best we can. If we have to go over, we'll go over. Because I want you to be able to speak your piece, even though your opinions are clearly... No, I'm kidding. I'm gonna start with this off with attack.
Go ahead.
But Mr. Shine,
wait, so we're not even sure. I want to preface some things here. Too,
yeah, let's
actually.
Do that. Joe, set the stage for us.
Say again, Jason.
Set the stage for us, Joe. Moderate.
All right. Well, here's the thing. Now we might get into we might learn a lot. We might go back and forth and they might even turn into a debate. Mm-hmm. But what I'd like to do. Is start with a little socialization. And because, let me tell you, both of you were at my wedding.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, we were.
You might have even spoken. I would like to say Moonshine Pete is a delightful human being. He's funny and smart as hell. We introduced him with a Parliament song because, you know, that's how he makes me feel.
Funky,
just makes me feel like bouncing up and down and smiling because that's how Parliament makes me feel. Now this,
Dr. Funkenstein,
yes, Dr. Funkenstein, and also I would like to say that Jason Moonshine Pete is called Moonshine Pete, and this is maybe a good way to start the socialization portion is he's called Moonshine Pete because he fucking makes moonshine for reals.
Wow.
Oh, I'm an American.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, I can't tell by your voice and your speech yet, but have you been drinking moonshine?
No. You know, I have not been drinking. I'm on the wagon right now.
Oh, he's wagoning. Okay.
Yeah. No, I'm cutting it out for a little bit here.
Well, cool. Well, that can be very good for your health.
Let me ask this question here real quick to get things going. Are you on the wagon because of decisions you made last November that you regret? I'm just wondering.
No.
Okay.
No.
Just checking.
Well, as you know, I am a professional Sasquatch hunter and researcher.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I did. I told Jason that
yep.
you have a really interesting job and, you know, hunting Sasquatch. That's great. When I was in college, I used to think that I was hunting women, but by the end of the night, I realized I had hunted a Sasquatch.
There you go. Yeah.
Is that like a thing?
And when you wake
like...
up in bed with a Sasquatch,
you don't want to smell like old number seven.
Well, what is that like? And where the hell are all the Sasquatch?
They're all over, man. They're all over. There's a lot of them in California, mostly Northern California, up the whole West Coast. But, you know, there's East Texas and Oklahoma. There's been a lot there. Ohio. All over the country, man.
Well, you know, Jason lives in Seattle, Texas.
Do you
got any fucking Yetis? You got any Yetis over there? Well, they're not Yetis. Sasquatch is different than Yeti, right?
That's true. That's true.
We here's the thing that I'm a little bit confused. Mr. Shine can tell me. We have professional Sasquatches here. Are you saying that you're a professional hunter of Sasquatch or that you hunt professional Sasquatch?
Well, I don't know how to answer that question.
I mean,
well, Jason, what the hell does a professional Sasquatch do?
I don't know that I've ever come across a professional Sasquatch. Maybe I should be hunting them.
It's just like an amateur Sasquatch, except they make money at it. And already I can tell that, Mr. Shine, listening to you talk, I'm starting to slip into my Midwestern accent. Here, that I was born with, and here in Seattle, Texas, we try real hard. I'm doing it. I apologize. I'm not making fun of you. I will make fun of you later. Your opinions and your thoughts. But I'm not trying to take you down a peg by copying your voice. So I apologize in advance if that's what it seems like. And feel free to make fun of my whack ass left coast liberal attitudes. That is 100% fine with me.
Listen, a professional Sasquatch, I'm just going to guess. Professional Sasquatch, I have a feeling that they're CPAs.
It's like Nancy Pelosi.
Ah, here we go, yeah.
She's a professional Sasquatch?
I think so.
Okay.
That's fucking gnarly.
I would have assumed or guessed that she's a little bit on the, shall we say, svelte side to be a Sasquatch. Is it a matter of girth or is it a matter of hairiness?
Or is it... Well, that's a good point. She's more like a Skeksis than a Sasquatch.
More like a Skeksis. Okay.
Well, listen, you guys. Look.
Your moderation techniques, Joe, I got to tell you. You might just steal the show.
All right, so
the conversation can continue as it will, and apologies are not necessary.
Oh,
I know, that's all right.
Look, I think we've established a couple of things.
Yeah.
Sasquatches are capable of more than we think they are. They're not just running around in the woods scaring the shit out of people and trying to evade capture and photography. They make money. They're hardworking. And also, Nancy Pelosi is not a Sasquatch. She's a fucking Skeksis.
I think you're
right.
I agree with that.
That's rough. I don't believe that. I just think it's a really funny sentence to say out loud. All right, gentlemen. Where do we begin? Where do we fucking begin?
Well, okay. Let's just put all our cards on the table.
Okay.
My understanding is that Mr. Moonshine Pete here is an ardent supporter of our sitting president, Mr. Trump. That
I don't know if it's ardent. Is that ardent? Sorry, I don't know if it's ardent.
I don't know if I would use the word ardent, but I am a strategic supporter of Donald Trump. And yes, I did vote for him, and I got no problem defending that choice I made.
Okay, so I don't want to get too deep into esoteria because that is my argument technique, and I'd rather be entertaining than get into the minutia, but. I'll try to be good. Pull me out, Joe, whenever I do it. But you'll defend that decision. Will you defend the decisions Trump's made over the last several months?
Sure.
Okay. So let's talk about a few of those, right?
Okay.
And I understand this is going to be – this quote-unquote debate is going to be very skewed because you're going to be on the defensive, and that's not fair to you. Also, it's not fair to people who are listening because defending a position is a lot easier to do than attacking the position, right? All you got to do is deny everything I say and, position well defended. So we'll try to keep this entertaining.
People are listening to this shit?
Oh, that's a good point.
Only in Ireland, parts of Mexico, and a group of idiots in California. Oh, and a group of idiots in Colorado and Florida. But not many. It's not much over 100. Anyway.
Let's take some of... I don't know where you want to start, Joe. I maybe should let you pick where we're going to start. Yeah, that's probably a better thing rather than me cherry picking.
I like your question. I think it's almost a good teaser, which is can Moonshine give us an idea of can he kind of explain some of the decision making because it might be baffling to some people. But let's start with what you said. You're a strategic supporter of Trump. I respect that statement. Well, I want to. Can you explain what your strategic decision was? What was the strategy behind supporting Donald Trump for president?
Well, for me, it was about a strategic change in government in some way. Okay. Now, I understand a lot of people don't like the way the man handles himself. The way he's a poor speaker, things like that. I get it. I agree with that. However, I see the United States going in a particular path in a lot of different arenas, a lot of different ways. There's cultural, there's governmental things that are going on. And I support a certain change in the way America is going in general. And I could not support, any other of the same old politicians that are going on. Donald Trump's not a politician. He's an American businessman. And I can appreciate that. And that's just something different. And so my decision had a lot to do with that. And Hillary Clinton is just a corpse. So, I don't know how anybody could think she'd be okay.
Well, okay.
You don't want to – go ahead, Jason. Hit it.
I'll jump in there. So I don't want to put words in your mouth, Mr. Shine, but it sounds to me like you would have voted for – not anybody, but – a non-establishment person. It wasn't that it was necessarily Trump himself that you thought was the bee's knees. It was that he wasn't Hillary. He wasn't all these other or the usual suspects, so to speak. Is that kind of accurate to say?
That has something to do with it, yeah. Yeah, he wasn't my first choice throughout the primaries, and I certainly could have thought of some more scholarly individuals that might have served the office better.
Sure.
But that's more or less what we're talking about, yeah.
Okay, okay. And I've heard that argument before. I mean, that seems to be one of the
yeah.
most basic reasons to support a Trump is not because of him in particular, but because he's not your usual beltway politician. My problem with that is something that I predicted some 11 years ago when Obama was running against Clinton, in that Obama did not have enough experience to play the politic game effectively. And I was mostly right. He was stymied by a Republican Congress for 8 years straight. And a Republican Congress abetted by a public opinion fomented by Fox News and other conservative outlets that pushed a very racist agenda. And Trump was a huge part of that agenda. And I predicted the same thing for Trump. And so here we are somewhat 8 months later, I lose count. And Trump has been incredibly ineffective because he's not a politician. He does not know how to play the game. You may think that Hillary is evil or a corpse, and I can definitely grant that that point of view is not 100% invalid, but she knows how to play the fucking game. And if you want proof of that, go back to Bill fucking Clinton. That motherfucker knew how to play the game. Again, you could be opposed to his ideals, but you have to admit that fucker knew his way around Washington, and he got shit done, a lot of shit done. We had one of our most profitable
North Korea weapons, totally.
No. I'm not going to talk about any particular move. We can find a dozen things to pull out of any politician's ass. My point is this, not voting for a career politician has resulted in a president who can get nothing done. And I predict that if he doesn't get impeached or die from a heart attack over the next 3 years, nothing will get done. He will be, by the end of this, the most ineffective president in the history of the United States. And I'm including fucking Buchanan in that list. Okay, your turn. Go.
Let me – you're fired up, buddy. Now let me address your specific general premise there of being – ineffective as a president. And I think over the last bunch of years, last bunch of presidencies in general, you have the media talking about, they're blurring the lines and the boundaries between the branches of government.
The media is blurring the lines. Okay.
I would argue that President Obama was very effective. He extrajudiciously, he operated in his position as the executive, he used every ounce of his ability to change the rules he used the agencies, would create just have agencies create policies that had the effect of law and therefore operated through his power as the executive, but effectively outside the legislative process altogether. Which is why a lot of his decisions were, considered unconstitutional or illegal. And I would say Donald Trump, though, because he is an executive and he does understand that, he is focused on, what powers do I have as the executive? And I'm going to utilize those powers to their maximum effect. Now, he's not the legislative branch. So, yes, I understand the president suggests things to the legislative branch, and you try and work with them to get that passed. But ultimately, that's not your job. And I'm hoping that people start picking up on that, maybe because of the problems that come up with Donald Trump and not being what you call effective, because the Congress is just not going to listen to him.
And this is part of your strategic decision, and I'm not being facetious at all. Like,
this stirs
shit up, and that's kind of what you're hoping for. Is to...
No, it doesn't really stir shit up. It's just he's maintaining those boundaries more clearly.
He's saying,
look, this is my role as the executive. This is what I'm doing. I have the right to do this. I have the authority, the jurisdiction over
not
this.
Not stirring shit up, but clarifying the boundaries between the branches.
Yeah, just saying, look, the legislative is not, that is not my jurisdiction. And if you have a problem with these things not getting passed, so on and so forth, you need to speak with the individuals whose jurisdiction it is to handle those matters. Because the American people have wholly seemed to either forgotten or never knew in the first place what the specific roles of the branches are. Because the judicial branches, their lines are being blurred all over the place about what they can and can't do. The legislative branch is just ineffective, which it wasn't supposed to be. You know, they weren't supposed to be able to pass a lot of laws real easily. That's what keeps the government small. And then, you know, the executive branch is also, people, you know, are treating the president like he's the one who's supposed to come up with all the laws and then make people pass them. Well, that's not the American system of government, thank God.
I hear what you're saying. Yeah, I hear what you're saying, and perhaps I am going to be facetious when I say that the reason why he is being perceived as clearly establishing the demarcation between the branches of government is because he is not an effective enough politician to be able to get anything done, that he has to fall back on the idea that, hey, I'm trying to do what I can, but they won't let me, which, frankly, in my opinion, is a cop-out. And furthermore, he is the de facto head of the Republican Party. That is what the president is. And in as much as he's not a legislator, he's still the head of the party that controls Congress. And therefore, they should be able to get some things done. And I'm not saying that the president says, make this a law, and then they do it. But there's no cohesion. As a politician, this is the same thing I was saying before. As a politician, he is not leading. He's not leading. He's not leading his party, and he's not leading government, and he's not executing anything. Can you tell me anything that he has said he was going to do that has any significance that he's actually done, or there's any hope of getting done?
Well, you know, there's a number of executive orders that he's signed. Whether or not, you know, they choose to be enforced is another story. You know, he's worked on getting travel bans and changing. Now he's working on getting the DACA, the Dreamer crap repealed, and, or, you know, getting that taken care of. But they're going to stymie him. I mean, I know they're going to stymie him.
Yeah, but why? Why would Republicans stymie him? Why would his own party stymie him? Is it because – I mean, go ahead. Sorry.
Because he's not one of them. Because those guys – this is one of those things where I don't understand why like, you know, you can appreciate the way Clintons do business, for example, or the Democratic Party does business. It's very dirty. It's really dirty, you know, very manipulative, you know, very behind closed doors. And the Republican Party operates the same way. It's unhealthy. It's the cause.
Thank you for saying that. And as a mediator, by the way, I just want you guys to know. Just as a quick aside, I'm the only mediator in a recorded debate that will now get drunk and cry. My mediation will just be open sobbing by the end of this fucking
Fair
debate.
Enough.
I
Fair
just
enough.
Want you guys to know that. Anyway, I agree with you.
So you'll have your chance to debate on whether or not the podcast should continue after this.
I didn't prepare anything for that because I knew the podcast would take care of itself in
there
that
you
respect
go.
This time. No, I'm really enjoying this. I'm going to sit back and listen. I'm sorry that I interrupted. Continue.
No, yeah, go ahead.
Well, that's one of the things I come across And people are like, oh, they know how to run the system. You know, they know how to be a politician. You know, what I see of politicians of late, I don't want anybody to be doing it that way anymore. I don't, you know, that's not a good way to do things. You know, there are some people, I understand, you know, debate and, you know, you have to understand how to engage in intelligent, scholarly debate and negotiate and things like that. But, you know, there's all that's at best 50% of how they're operating. The other 50% is really shady and really selfish and crappy and, you know, cocaine and hookers and suitcases full of money. And
you're
murder.
About both Democrats and Republicans. At this
I'm talking politicians in general. I'm really not, you know, yeah, no, that goes across the board. So
and Republican noses go across hard dicks of male prostitutes.
Oh, they sure do.
To do lines. Of
there's child sex rings.
That's what I'm saying. I'll shut up. I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, there's absolutely.
Well, I am.
For the matter. So I don't want people to be doing it, you know, oh, they know how to play the game. The fuckers that know how to play the game scare the shit out of me.
Okay. I see where you're coming from. I don't know if it's worth debating at this point whether or not my disagreeing with you is tenable. I'll just for the record say that I don't have a problem with the dirty politics. As far as I'm concerned, the only asses they're fucking are their own or each other's. And there are some Americans who perhaps suffer, but I think mostly it's – and again, I don't know that I can really defend this, so you can just tell me I'm crazy and we'll move on. But I think mostly the people who get screwed are rich assholes who put it all on the line and then, you know, they run the risk and it gets taken away from them. Whatever. That's conspiracy theory crazy stuff. But there's a couple points I want to make is that whether we agree or disagree that dirty politics is good or bad, the one person that has been sort of – I guess the champion of let's do things a different way is a person who is incapable of doing anything. And that's my mantra for this that if, you know, you said to me, we're going to lead the charge. We're going to invade North Korea. We found out North Korea is, you know, beating children and we're not going to put up anymore. We're going to lead the charge. We just need to find a general. And you say, well, these three generals will kill 50% of our soldiers when they go get the job done. And you're thinking, that's not good enough. We can't let that many of our soldiers die. Who else do you got? Well, we can do this guy who we don't know how many people he get killed, but it's guaranteed nothing will get done. Don't pick that guy either. Wait till you find somebody better. I mean, I might agree with you that politicians are assholes, but the asshole who is replacing them is a worse asshole, in my opinion. And so I don't think this comes down to – a Trump debate is not going to come down to politicians suck. It's going to come down to, is Trump the person to solve our problems? And I say not only is he not the person, he's making things worse. Self-aggrandizement and personal profit is ruining things in government, not making them better.
I'd like to –
it depends on how you get that personal profit. I mean I have no problem with anybody creating massive wealth for themselves at all. You know, the question is, you know, is it through, you know, smuggling little girls from Mexico and, you know, bales of cocaine or, you know, or did you create a business and run it and, you know, and follow the law and things like that? I mean, wealth in and of itself is not bad.
No, but breaking the emoluments clause is bad, right? I mean, if Trump became president just so that he could bring people to Mar-a-Lago and make money off of it. I mean, how is that good for anybody?
They all make money off their presidency, man. You can't – I mean, if you're going to point the finger at Donald Trump, you got to – you know, they all do that. That's part of the game. That's what they get. That's part of what they get.
But you said that
kind of wanted them to stop playing the game.
That's the point I was just about to make is if Trump's playing that game, then he's just as bad as they are. Furthermore, he is breaking – I mean – you can tell me that the Clintons did it or that Obama did it, but he is literally defying the Constitution by making a profit off of foreign governments while president. That is 100% illegal. You can't have foreign nationals stay in your hotels and get profit from that. You can't do that. And if the only reason he became president was to make money, then he is worse than all the other people who did all the dirty things they did but still got health care for all of Americans, or raised the minimum wage, or shored up Social Security, or any of the other billion things that I think are good that shitty politicians have done in the past.
Yeah, well, that's a matter of perception, too.
Well, here, just a word from your mediator, the worst mediator ever, and that's being generous. Wait. Now, listen, I would like to make this might be my only good move as a mediator. I'm drinking a little bit more and more.
There you go.
Heading toward the crying. I don't know at what minute in the podcast I will start to sob, but I would like to make the conversation a little more pointed, and I would like to ask you, Moonshine Pete.
Yes.
In what way, and you can describe this in short term language or long term, like, okay, looking at the short term or long term, how do you feel? What do you think is going to be the greatest benefit? And what is the mechanism behind the benefit when it comes to the Trump administration? I'd like to hear that, because I feel like you have an idea of that. Go ahead.
Well, that's a good question, and there's not much. I mean, honestly, there's not much. You know, we're in a bad position in general. You know, in general in this country, because you've just had, for so long, such a lack of accountability in government. And then you have people being less and less educated on what their responsibility is, especially when it comes to accountability. So you have, such a long history of all, all this stuff, things just going more and more down the shitter. And so then you're trying to pull it back from the brink, right? So there's a lot of people who feel like, fuck, things are really bad, which is why he got elected, right? Because they're like, we got to pull this back from the brink. That was the sentiment. So I think, for most, or I don't know, a lot of people, I think myself included, it was just about like, man, if we let somebody like Hillary Clinton get into office, things are going to start going like, that's it. They're going to start making big moves where things are going to really start going horribly wrong. And, it's just that much further. You just lose that much more control as a citizen of a supposedly free nation.
Well, but I want to hold you to it a little bit, Pete. That is, if you did make a strategic decision, and I know you personally.
Yes.
You're not... You are a critical thinker, and this is why we wanted you on the show. Let's look at the long term.
Yeah, so
by this change, because it certainly is a change, and I think we can all agree upon that. There's a drastic change that's happening here. I think it's a reflection of a cultural change, but it's also a direct political change in the political. Not only the climate, but but the operation of.
I don't think him being elected and is going to provide a lot of tremendous good, in the long run. I don't expect it to. When I think about how to answer that question, I think maybe it's just a matter of shaking things up a bit, making people actually stop and think. Instead of, operating on the, behavioral psychology triggers that the television pumps into their skull, maybe they'll actually stop and go, well, wait, what the fuck is going on?
Well, dude, okay, I've got to stop you right there.
Maybe I should learn about it a little bit. Maybe I should actually, what are they actually talking about? I don't even understand this anymore.
I think the Trump being elected is proof that exactly the opposite of what you're hoping for happened and is happening. You say that people need to stop with the knee-jerk reaction. I don't know if you use that phrase, but I think that's an appropriate synonym for it.
Sure.
And yet two of his most profound platforms were Mexicans are evil and Muslims are evil, and he got elected based off of the lies that came out of these two tenets, right? And people completely had knee-jerk.
I wouldn't agree to that. I wouldn't say right.
I would say that and I've seen more than a little bit of evidence that people in social media, for example, champion this person who's going to finally protect the United States. You used a phrase, or you intimated that there's a lot of things wrong with the country and that he's going to shake things up so maybe we can start fixing some of the things. I think the only thing he claimed was wrong with the country was Mexicans and Muslims, and that what's really wrong with the country is the sort of politics for the sake of politics, which a lot of people are having a problem with, that Trump is just using for his own profit. So he's just as bad as anybody else. I mean, the idea that people are going to somehow look at this and say, oh man, what's going on? We should pay more attention. No, I think that when you've got a president who tweets, you have people paying less attention because they don't have to pay attention. All they got, they don't have to watch the news. They don't have to read a book. They can just get on fucking Twitter, know what's on the president's mind, and either complain about it like I do, or champion it like other people do. And little thought is necessary. He is not stimulating our intellect. He is defying us in our intellect. He's asking us, he's demanding, he's requiring that we stop thinking in order to just put up with his antics, whether you're for him or against him.
I'm stepping outside.
Maybe the value then comes from, you know, people taking more, you know, maybe if people like yourself become, you know, you have people like yourself being very frustrated with him being president and individuals similar to him operating in government at all. And I am upset over other individuals in the Democratic Party and elsewhere operating in government at all. Maybe perhaps it will spur people to be more individually responsible and culpable and understand that what we create is going to be created from the bottom up, like with conversations such as this, and not relying on those jagoffs.
Okay, now Moonshine,
they're not any better leaders than you or me.
Moonshine, I think that is an excellent point, and I hope that's what we can get out of this. I mean, I would agree with you on that. And if there's one thing, if we can agree on everything here, and we could, like, maybe on another podcast, get into the nitty gritty of one particular point, you know, like Mexicans or Muslims or you know, banning transgender people from military or something. But in general, if you are suggesting that one benefit that could come from Trump being president is people freak the fuck out and decide to fix something, he's not the fix, but he's really showed us we need a fix. Okay, then I'll accept that as a possible
good end. Government is not the answer to the problem. Government is not the answer to any of the problems.
Right, okay.
I mean, I understand where you come from with the national security issue with the Muslims and the Mexicans. And that's, you know, that's his role as the executive. That is actually his jurisdiction. And I understand people don't like how he handled that. And I don't know that I like the way he handled it either. But you talk about government in general, and there's the overall philosophy of what things are best handled by an overarching bureaucratic system, and what things are handled best by individuals in their communities. And you know, then the question is, you know, we have a situation where you have more and more, you have career politicians. So they're trying to make jobs, as many jobs as they can for themselves, give themselves more power, more money, you know, all of those things. They're not in the business of empowering individuals to be better. And to solve their own problems and through their education, you know, they're in the business of telling people that, you know, I'm the one that's going to handle it. This is too complicated for you. You don't really know what you're talking about and da 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 da, you know?
Right. Right. Well,
yeah. I disagree with that altogether. You know, like, you know, I've met all kinds of people so far in my life, various degrees of power and influence and wealth and et cetera. And they're all just regular flawed people. I mean, they're no different from me or you. Yes, they've managed to acquire certain knowledge and experience in one area, But you or I could do that too. They're not some special class of people.
Well, both of you have, by the way. Both
created, you know, they're beginning to be held up as like some kind of special class of people that has, you know, magical powers above and beyond the rest of us. And you know, I don't agree with that at all.
No,
you're supposed to be, you know.
Should I swear more?
Well, no. Everything you're saying that is so measured and awesome, but I don't know if it's addressing the fact that fucking Donald Trump is the president. Like you're
well, but you know, Donald Trump is the symptom to the disease.
Okay.
Yes. All right, Jason.
Well, okay. So yeah,
but so is Hillary Clinton. So is Nancy Pelosi. So is. You know,
fucking Paul Ryan, the Skeksis like, have always are. Been interfering well, with everything.
Exactly.
But, so I hear what you're saying. You know, and again, on another podcast or another time, we could have a debate about the role of government, whether it should be, as you say, overarching or not. And you know, trying my attempt, not calling you out, Moonshine Pete, but attempt to stay on the Trump topic. Okay. I'll try not to just, you know, argue about government, but to say this, that I recognize that politicians are self-serving and they are dirty, and that is, you know.
And you think he's like the worst of the worst.
No. What I'm getting at is that what we hope to have happen is that while politician A is self-serving and politician B is self-serving, they have to work together and give each other's constituents some benefit of leadership in order to compromise, get their own promises. And that's the balance that we hope that we have, right? If you have one dictator, that's not going to happen. But you've got, you know, 300 plus Congress people working together. Hopefully, you know, they all take a little piece of the pie, but the majority of that pie is, you know, to the benefit of the American people. And my contention is that, to get back on subject, Trump is not good enough at that, playing that balance, that he is not,
well,
he's not experienced
solely responsible. I mean, you know, that again, that comes back to where we started, where I mean, what about the legislators? You know, they're the ones that have to write it and agree and vote on it. The president makes his suggestions and would like to hope, and I understand what you're saying about him being the head of the Republican Party, but you know, that's not the case with Donald Trump. I mean, they don't like him,
right? Exactly.
So, you know, they'll stab him in the back.
Well, I guess what I'm saying
still
is
operating, you know, but that doesn't really, to me, that doesn't really matter. I mean, they don't have to listen to the president's suggestions anyway.
Well, that's true. Yeah. No. Yeah. He's not a dictator. I guess what I'm getting at is that if you go back to, you know, election night and you go up to somebody and say, how would you like your life to be better in 4 years? And you mm-hmm. got them to tell you exactly what it is they want, whether it's a better job or, you know, bread is cheaper, or they feel safe when they go to another country. You know, pick whatever you want.
Right. Well, and, sure. Let's be specific about that for a second, Jason, because what if Donald Trump is going to do his job the best, right, in anyone's eyes, and provide value to the American people on behalf of the American people with their best interests in mind? What specifically is his jurisdiction as the executive officer of the country to take action that would provide that value? I mean, what specifically can he do? You know, the main role of the executive branch is to enforce the laws and protect the borders, protect the security of the nation,
right?
Provide diplomatic, you know, liaisons with other countries, right? Not provide a healthcare bill, not, you know, save the homeless people or whatever. You know, all of that stuff's outside his purview. So if we're going to discuss inside what his job actually is, you know, what is it that he's actually charged, that he has the jurisdiction to do, and then that he could do within
now,
that jurisdiction?
Now, Pete, I respect that, because I'm actually, of everyone I know, like your knowledge of civics is is really, really good. But
you're supposed to say yes and. Come on.
Look, we completely abandoned comedy a long time ago. So fuck you and yes and improv and everything.
I listened to Bulging Baines today.
Oh, did you?
Awesome.
So I heard your Adam Carolla rant. It was beautiful.
Oh, okay. All right. And well, Jason, look,
I don't mean to get off topic, but I have to ask you this since I'm on. Is did did you for the Red Apron blood delivery
yes.
service? That advertisement you read, did you write that advertising copy or did you get that from someone else?
Well, can I answer that, Jason?
Yeah, go ahead.
Fucking A.
Because that was beautiful copy right there. Right? I was blown away. I was like, I don't even need blood, but I want to take part in what's going on right there. So I'll buy it.
I appreciate that. I will pass that on to the guy at Largo who does most of the copywriting. He is a lot like me. I'll take some credit for that. He and I, we have a lot in common.
Yeah, they try to keep simpatico.
Fuck you, Joey.
I want this to keep going. Like, this is very interesting, but I do want you to know that if we were on television, imagine this, if there was a camera pointing to Jason while he was, you know, emphatically giving his argument, and then all of a sudden the camera went to Pete and he's doing his argument. And by the way, I do this on the podcast when we have a guest. I was looking at Jason as if Jason was to my left, and then I looked to the right as if Pete was on my fucking right. Anyway, when the camera turns to me, this is what you guys would see. I have a microphone, and I've now taken my shirt off, and I'm about fucking 20, 30 pounds overweight. It doesn't look good. I'm fucking sweating because there's not a fan in here. If I turn the fan on, it would ruin the audio. So, and when I talked about I'm going to get drunk and cry, well, I'm not drunk yet, but I'm going to cry soon.
Well, let me say this, Joe. I think that if in as much I'm on the left, I'm clearly a liberal type person. And if Moonshine Pete's on your right, and he, if not, totally conservative, more conservative than I am. We represent the two wings of our government. You would obviously represent the average American citizen, average American citizen, slightly overweight, potentially drunk.
Sweating.
Exactly.
Yeah. Crying with no shirt.
That's right. So we are
naked, crying, and sweating.
That's right. That is the American people. We are.
You can both agree
drinking
on that,
the misery
right?
away.
Yes.
And drinking the misery away. Correct. Now,
I was going to say this.
Breakup.
Yeah. Let me
go ahead.
I keep interrupting. I apologize. I'm being a stickler for time. We are over time. In the interest of time.
Are you kidding me? That's over now?
Oh, no, yeah. We're like 7 minutes over. Here's what I'm suggesting we do. I think it's only fair because I expected Moonshine to come on here and just be a ranting, raving redneck saying, fuck the Muslims. I hate all them brown people. I love Trump.
That.
I'm sure that you have the comedy chops to pull that off. But I want to thank you respectfully for making some very cogent arguments, giving me the opportunity to rant and rave myself. And I think it's only fair, Joe, that we give Moonshine Pete the last say on this subject without fear of reprisal or, you know, ridicule. Then I'll play the outro music and then you can shout something like the good red-blooded, shirtless, sweating, crying, drunk American that you are. And we'll close this out.
Whip up some tears, buddy.
That sound good,
All
right, Joe?
Well, sure.
All right, Pete. Just, you know, give us something compelling. Please.
All right. Well, after that fine conversation, I would say that my final word on the matter would be that I do believe that Donald Trump knows how to operate as an executive. And that is the role that he's been put in. And so in his role and specific jurisdiction as an executive, I think he'll stay within those boundaries and execute that office pretty well. Okay? He's not going to give everybody, you know, a free bag of candy and whatever and every chicken in the pot, because that's not his job. So that's where I fall with him ultimately. I'd like to see the other branches of government make sure they stay within their boundaries and execute what their jurisdictions are just as or more precisely. And that's it.
Well, you know what, Peter? I respect that. And Jason,
So my role as mediator, I think, is now over. I would like to say
that should probably be the last podcast, I think, Joe.
We
did it.
Listen, now that this is over and I'm not the mediator anymore, I'd like to say one more thing, and that is, if we are going to teach our children that it's okay to blatantly fucking lie, say something at the beginning of one sentence and then you contradict it by the end of the next, by the end of the same sentence.
Right.
And if you're fucking just terrible and offensive and you're tweeting at 3 a.m. from the fucking toilet, I don't want to teach our children that. So if there's any benefit from fucking Donald Trump at all, then let me tell you, it is not beneficial to teach our children that it's okay to behave the way that he does. So fuck Donald Trump.
Are you saying, Joe, that you believe that children are our future, that if we teach them well and let them lead the way?
The children are our future.
I can't believe you held on to your comments.
I don't even know.
All right, gentlemen. Good talk.
Thank you. Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Can we do part two?
We will.
Fuck you, Joey.